rise.
Mr. Cecilia.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Director Forcroy?
Here.
Director Milledge?
Here.
Director Womack?
Present.
Vice President Cesenia?
Here.
President Ohilski?
Present.
Okay, so the first item we have is board officer election. As we talked about last time, since Mr. Cesenia wasn't able to be here last meeting, I continued for until his was available. Until he was available.
I appreciate that.
So we'll go ahead and I'll be stepping down. So the first thing we'll do is have election of president. So do we have any nominations for president?
I nominate Chuck Cesenia.
I second.
Any additional nominations? Would you like to say a few words before your election, or should I go straight to public comments?
There doesn't need to be someone else. This isn't Iowa now.
That's why we didn't turn it over last meeting. We're still counting.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you working with me on that. It's been a difficult time. Refrain from any.
Do we have any public comment on this item? I don't think we need a secret ballot since we only have one nominee. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So I spoke with Chuck before the meeting, and I'll continue through the elections, then I'll turn it over to him. So the second position is for vice president for 2020. So we have two members on the board that have not served as officers before, but we'll take nominations.
I'll nominate Christine Womack for vice president.
Okay. I don't think we need a second for this, do we? Oh, we do? Okay. Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay. Any more nominations?
I'd like to nominate Matthew Forcroy.
Okay. I'll second that. All right. So our two new guys are ladies and guys. So what I'd like to do is give you just a couple of seconds to think and then make a quick statement. So, okay. Time's up. Who would like to go first? Christine, you were nominated first, so would you like to say a few words, please?
I'd be happy to serve.
Okay. Do you have anything to add to that, Matthew, or is that yours too?
I'm happy to serve, but I think Christine would do a great job.
Okay. All right. Public comment on this item? Well, you might break my record, Chuck. All right, we'll close public comment. We have a secret ballot out in front of you, so if you guys could fill it out and then get them over to Lauren. That's blank. I need a pen so I can fill mine out. Thank you.
I want to say I appreciate the cost savings on the size of the ballot, too.
We discussed that last meeting, so you missed that.
Got another.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, can you tally the votes for us, please? We're not doing it electronically, obviously.
Yes. No. One vote for Director Womack. 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 And one vote for Director Womack. It's unanimous.
Well, that was pretty easy. Okay, congratulations to you two. I'm going to move over and take Director Womack's seat, and you're up here.
Okay.
So I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you.
Wait, I have to turn the whole thing.
That'll stay right there. Yeah. Seems to be. Okay, with that, we'll move on to presentation of the mid-year 2019-2020 budget adjustments. And I want to say that the report was very thorough. I wasn't at the FAC the other night, but I had a chance to read Laura's report and what she sent out in the email. And I was nice being able just to follow.
Oh, great.
And understand.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about the format for people that maybe didn't look at it. I tried to make it as straightforward for someone that isn't familiar with budgets by being upfront on major budget requests, adjustment requests, the impacts to the budget, and then a brief narrative summarizing it. And then I put together summary tables that link back on the spreadsheet they come from to the general ledger line items. So hopefully the format works and is clear, especially given this year we have minimal changes to most of the funds except Fund 100, the administrative budget. And I did want to say, I didn't have it in the report, that this did go to the Finance Advisory Committee on Tuesday night, and they recommended to the board to approve the changes. So with that, I'm going to jump. It wasn't in the report. Sorry, Marshall. So I'm going to jump into Fund 100, the administration, which has the most changes. They're primarily driven by the hiring of a new general manager myself, and that and now the position is a district employee versus a contract position, which then triggers cost increases for benefits like health and retirement, and then also the personnel taxes that come along with it. But there were other things that we found going through the budget, such as the permanent administrative clerk position, which was filled in August, wasn't in the original budget. So, you know, that was a whole position that wasn't accounted for. We had a longer transitional period with our former administrative services managers. It was 5 weeks, so that kind of ran up a little more money. And then we just found small other things that were either not budgeted for or under budgeted in that budget. And lastly, there was two one-time expenditures that weren't anticipated, those being the vacation payout to the administrative services manager and the new payroll system. So if you have a board packet on page 2 is the summary for this one. I expanded this one a little bit more because there were more things that changed. The overall request increase is $198,846,000. And then underneath the table is a brief explanation of the main things that have changed.
Chuck, can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
When we did this at FAC, we took it account by account rather than going through the whole thing. So I think that may be a productive way to proceed.
Sure. I agree with that.
Okay. So the ripple effect of this request is then in the cost allocation plan, which is a table on page 3. And, of course, the biggest impact is to the water fund, Fund 500, of a little over $163,000. But then the table, and I'll go through these by each fund, that I'll identify the amount as we hit the different funds. With that, I can take any questions. Oh, and I want to emphasize that there is more detail in the back of the report by line item.
You mentioned in here that we had hired an administrative clerk back in August.
We filled the position in August.
Yeah, filled the position. Was that with Carol or was that with Marty?
Carol.
Okay, because we had a clerk in here on a temporary basis for a while before
right.
that.
Right, and Carol was hired through a temp service.
So we had money going out
so
for
had,
contract.
And you will see that in the detail back here.
Okay.
Where so there was a reduction there.
Okay.
So it wasn't like the full amount of the position.
Right. Any other questions?
Well, no, for Claire, I'm just going to piggyback on some of the questions that came up at FAC.
Okay.
But for clarity, you might want to discuss the significant reduction in the legal and professional fees part of that, just to clarify that.
Yes.
I know you've touched on it, but
right.
I think a little more detail might
okay.
be helpful.
Under the legal and professional category, that was where the former GM contract was. And so we, the Renee was here into August, so we spent about $10,000, right around that. But then the rest of that contract we took a reduction from. So that's why that's a big number right there.
Right, and that counteracts part of the part in the total personnel line. So
absolutely.
I just, those are plus and minuses for basically the same thing. So I just wanted to make that clear to everybody.
Did you take public comment per each fund? Okay.
Not everybody spoke. I mean, we didn't have comments on each fund.
Right. But we'll offer that opportunity as well. Okay. Public comments on Fund 100 budget adjustments.
Julie Tacker. I just want to say that hiring Ron was the right thing to do. Even with these cost implications, there'll be so much savings over his term because of his expertise, his experience, and his professionalism. I truly believe that the district's in the best hands it's been in maybe ever. So this ripple effect is going to be worth it.
Any other public comments? Fund 100 budget adjustments. Okay, well, move on to Fund 200.
Fund 200. Basically, there's just a couple of major things. We trued up on capital outlay for the decommissioning of the septic system up in Bay Ridge. We had budgeted $30,000 and came in a little bit over that. And then because Fund 200 has 0.5% of the allocation plan, their increase is $954.23. I did go through and look at the cash and cash available, cash balances for these different funds. And this one, we will have enough to cover.
Yeah, and if I could piggyback on that, I'm just telling you what the FAC said and what we talked about there. So I think that staff deserves a pat on the back for this one on the decommissioning costs because the original estimate was over $100,000. And to have this, you know, come up $510 more than $30, I'm really fine with that.
Well, that's what I wanted to make sure we understood, is that, yeah, we went $500 over that $30,000 estimate, which was a third of the original estimate.
Exactly.
So Jose did great work on pulling that down.
Jose and Frank and his crew did an amazing job.
Yeah, I think Jose knew we were going to do this because he just stepped out of the room.
Any other board comments, questions? Public comment on Fund 200 budget adjustment. Okay, we'll move on to Fund 300, fire.
Fire. Here we highlighted that there was an increase in revenues that the chief wanted us to point out, the $17,650. Part of that was interest income from having our reserves, fire reserves, at Pacific Premier Bank and the interest rate that we have there. The other came from nuclear power plant fund from Diablo, about a little over $7,000. We did see some increase in capital outlay, which was for some furnishings for the fire station, and then also services and supplies, and basically that was fire hose and some unexpected costs to move the propane tank. So with the revenue increase and then with the adjustments, the transfer for them was a little over $19,000, and they have a 10% of the cost allocation plan. So there was a net increase of a little over $11,000 in this fund.
Okay, given the size of the budget for that fund, that's pretty inconsequential. Any other board questions or comments before we go to public comment? Okay, public comments on budget adjustments for Fund 300 to fire. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to Fund 400.
And I, now that Jose's back, I give you a pat on the back for the decommissioning of the septic tanks at Bay Ridge. So
yes, we're still amazed at that. Okay, Fund 400.
Fund 400 is very straightforward. We did decrease the legal services budget, which is inside the service and supplies budget. We don't anticipate any issues with Fund 400. And then their amount is 0.5% of the allocation plan, which is $954.23. Other than that, no changes.
Any comments from the board? Okay, public comment on Fund 400, mid-year budget adjustments. Okay, we'll move on to 500, Fund 500, water.
500, like I mentioned at the beginning, took the biggest hit on adjustments dollar-wise. It's a pretty straightforward budget. What we did was we have quite a large capital outlay budget that we aren't going to accomplish this fiscal year. One is, we did do the program C test well, but it's coming in way under budget. Plus the 8th Street Lower Aquifer well, we're waiting for a grant funding determination by the Department of Water Resources, and we won't be hearing from them until around August or September. So what we did was decrease the capital outlay budget to increase the transfers. We did a couple other minor changes that were budget neutral, moving some. We had an emergency repair at the 8th Street Upper Aquifer well, our low aquifer well, that cost about $17,000. So we did some switching in the water distribution budget and that well line item. So basically, it's budget neutral, even though we're making this big change in the transfer. I did want to point out that we're recommending adding $350,000 to a reserve. That's above the $57,000 that's currently budgeted. That money is coming from fund balance from the 2018-19 fiscal year budget, plus the amount of cash we have in our general checking for water. So we feel it's prudent to move that into reserves at this point in time. And with that, I'll take any questions.
What's the balance in the water reserves at this point?
I think the overall is $2.6 million. But we also have cash of about 3.8.
Okay. Because I know that's why we deferred taking the rate increase.
Right, exactly.
But I just, so we haven't, this will be a.
Plus we have revenue coming in this year.
Right.
Yeah. That. We'll keep building those reserves and our.
Yeah, I was under the mistaken impression that the grant had been approved, but I guess we just made it to the top of the county list on January 1st. And so we've still got to wait till August to hear about the state.
Yeah, the grant was submitted to the state by the county in December.
Okay.
And that's just their timeline of turning it around.
And what's their timeline, the state's timeline?
August or September before award. And then we'll
so construction would actually have to be in 2021.
Exactly.
Well, I was under the same impression that Chuck had, too.
It's another year among friends. We need to get that well going. Okay. Any public comment on the adjustments to Fund 500?
Richard Margeson, on the revenue side, Ron said we have the revenue coming in this year. The rates are the same as last year, and we're actually running ahead of last year for revenue for the first 6 months without going into a lot of detail. But I definitely think the decision was proper. I think it may be proper not to even bring it up again this year, especially with the lack of rainfall. We might not have the winter drop in consumption we usually do. And I think the trend of the increased revenue this year may continue till the end of the fiscal year. So just a comment.
Yeah, once we know a little bit with more clarity about the program C well, where we're going with that, we can budget accordingly because we have no idea where that's going to come in at. Could be an expensive proposition.
And relative to the rate increase, we just said that we would revisit it. We didn't say that we
Right. Okay, Fund 600, wastewater.
600 is just a straight transfer for the cost allocation. That's their part is 0.5%, and that is the $954.23. We are looking at having, it appears to have some surplus or a positive fund balance, so that can be easily covered. Any questions?
Yeah, I did have a question, and I'm not sure whether it applies here or under the water, so I chose to put it here. But as far as us working on the recycled water, how does that factor into the budget, or is that county paying for all of that infrastructure? I know the Basin Management Committee, we've talked about that, but I didn't see anything in the budget here relative to reclaimed water.
Correct. The county's paying for all the infrastructure and the hookups with the school. What we had in the past when we did the rate analysis, we'd anticipated the delivery of recycled water 3 years ago. So we had a placeholder for it, but it was on the revenue side for collecting revenue.
Well, I know one of the things that we've talked about for years is the hookup over there on 10th Street where the recycled water be available to the public, but do you have any idea what
we stand on that? I had a discussion with the county on that, and they wanted the district to kind of step up and partner and try to find volunteers to run the fill station. We ran that through the UAC, and it didn't go over very well. But that said, I've been talking with county staff again, maybe on an alternative way to have that available.
So there would have to be somebody there monitoring the dispensation, or whatever you call it, of the water. So it couldn't just be drive up, fill your thing, and leave. You'd have to have somebody there
to monitor.
Okay.
And it'd be limited hours, probably on a weekend, so you'd need someone to...
Okay, but that's discussions you're still having
still
with
having.
The county, so that's not in the budget.
No.
Okay.
It's not.
I thank you for that clarification.
Okay, anything else? Public comment on changes to Fund 600. Okay, then let's move on.
Okay, Fund 800, again, is really straightforward. It's just a cost allocation transfer. Their share is 2%, which is the $3,816.93. But I wanted to add that we would like to increase the reserves by the $94,572 based on available cash, and we're not really seeing any foreseeable fiscal needs in that fund. And so it's just moving fund balance into that amount of fund balance into reserves.
So based on the improvements that we've made in the past few years, then we're good to go, is what you're saying?
Right, and the only project we have out there is the SCADA project, and that's going to take a little while.
Yeah, that's not going to happen in the short term.
Not this fiscal year. There'll be some expenses this fiscal year.
Right. Okay. But all the stuff that we've done over the past few years have brought us up to...
Right.
Okay.
Public comment on Fund 800, mid-year budget adjustment. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to Fund 900.
And again, this is a very straightforward for Parks and Rec. Their allocation percentage is 1%, which equates to the $1,908. And again, they look to have some surplus at the end of this fiscal year that can absorb that cost increase.
Okay, questions, comments from the board? Okay, public comment on adjustments to Fund 900, Parks and Rec. Okay, we'll bring that back. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the mid-year budget adjustments as presented. Again, with the statement, as Ron already mentioned, that the Financial Advisory Committee recommended to the board that they approve this.
I'll second.
All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. That carries unanimously. And we'll move on to public comment for items not on the agenda. Do we have anyone tonight with items for us? Yes, sir.
Feel-good moment. I wasn't here in January. I was out of state. So I just want to give an update on the events of December. First of all, Needs and Wishes was very successful. We did about $2,400, $2,500 more than last year. The total was $42,655. And I was asked this year to present the portion of the proceeds to the NOR Clinic at their board meeting. They were very thankful to Los Osos. It was really, 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 it was heartwarming to see that they collectively, plus Rupert Chowans, who's, you know, the chair, lives here in Los Osos. The toy store this year, my count was that 11 barrels were filled. And just a little feel-good story from the event. One of my regular donors to the event and comes to the event couldn't make it this year. And during the event, I got a phone call, said they were sorry they couldn't make it, but to pull $750 worth of toys out of the toy store and put them in the barrels. So I think, and the chief's only been here a couple of years, but I think that's the most toys that have ever been donated to Operation Santa Claus from the Christmas event. I think the high mark in the past was 8 barrels. But anyway, very successful event. Thank you to all the volunteers, all the entertainment, and just remind everybody that this event has no overhead. So everything raised that day went to the three recipients. The other thing is bell ringing, people helping people. As president of People Helping People, I want to just mention bell ringing. Chuck rings the bell for us every year, Saturday, and picks up other shifts when I need him. But if we had had a full season, the season was short this year by a week because Thanksgiving was so late in the year. But if we had had what we consider a normal season, we would have shattered the record this year. We were so far ahead of pace. I'm not going to divulge the total because that's going to be announced on Thursday at a get-together for the bell ringers, and we always keep it a secret till then. But I will say that Salvation Army, the head of Salvation Army in Morro Bay, told us that Los Osos had the second highest total of any of the bell ringing collections in the county. We beat Morro Bay's, both of their stores combined, Los Osos beat Morro Bay. We were only second to Paso Robles. Anyway, some feel-good moments. Very generous community. Thank you, everyone. And we'll plan on you for next year.
Good evening, Lindy Owen. I wanted to just bring up something that's going to affect everybody inside the Prohibition Zone. Is the county has chosen to look at their budget, and they're $450,000 short in their annual budgeting. And so they're going to they've already raised our rates. The sewer's been operating for 2 years. They already raised our rates one time to the full amount that they had been able to do. They're going to come back at us with a 19% increase spread over a five-year period, I think it was. And so on the 27th, they will be presenting it at the Board of Supervisors, and we'll have a 45-day window in which to mount a protest. The reasons that they gave are, one, materials and costs, which I translate into sewer not working well, not a great design, and we expected this, so they want us to pay for that. Secondly, employee costs. So we were told at the meeting that 37 people out of 14,000 people attended because it wasn't noticed well, and it was a cold, rainy night. We were told that they use 11 operators countywide instead of having on-site operators, where most people that stood up said that they worked in sewer plants of the equivalent size that were run by 3 full-time operators. So, again, questionable whether they could do a better job at managing their the way that they run their 3 sewers. And fourth was that they're not getting the revenue they expected because we're conserving, and so we're not putting as much flow in, and they haven't been able to charge us as much. I think I continue wondering what happened to the $10 million settlement that, because of their errors and a failed lawsuit, they were forced to pay, and they are now taking it out of our budget again. When that $10 million, if they had accepted the responsibility for the errors that they made in contracts with the construction, those $10 million could have actually funded some of the failures that are happening currently with the sewer issue. So just reminding people that they will be getting notices. It'll be a postcard. Make sure you get it, because many people did not receive them, even though it's supposed to be on the tax roll addresses. So, and we'll have 45 days to say that you don't agree with that. Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and I want to piggyback on what Lindy's talking about, and that that meeting, there were, I counted, 43 people in the public and 13 members of staff. So the ratio was pretty bad. And you all got postcards. Everybody got a postcard to attend, and really only 43 people showed up. So, yes, it was cold and rainy, but I don't think people fully understand what the ramifications of this rate increase are going to be. They did put a table up on the slide projector. Over the 5 years, it will be a $400 increase. It's annual. So it's $2,000 a year now. It'll be $2,400 a year come 5 years out. The public has the right to protest. The County Board of Supervisors will, as Lindy said, kind of kick off the protest period later this month at their board meeting. We won't know what time of day that agenda item will come up. I'll do my best to publicize that. If you all want to look at Nextdoor or Facebook, maybe the district could also publicize which part of the day that agenda item comes up. The problem that I saw with that meeting is it wasn't televised, it wasn't taped, so people are going to have a lot of questions. People that were there had a lot of questions. And because it wasn't televised, it's not memorialized, the county, you probably will get phone calls asking questions about it, just because the CSD is the first phone number we go to. But perhaps in this 45-day window, the county should come here and give a presentation on camera to your board, so that then the public can see the slideshow, talk to, you know, they can come here and have it at your meeting maybe. But pay attention. Everyone needs to pay attention. And there will be a ballot that comes to every address, and you will have the opportunity to protest that should you choose to do that. The reasons are many, but the pain is going to be real. So thank you. If you can do anything here locally, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other public comment for items not on the agenda tonight? Okay, thank you. By the way, that needs and wishes benefit is a wonderful example of private citizens stepping up to fill in the holes in government services. It is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful relationship with the NOR Clinic. Okay, at this point, we're ready for administrative and committee reports, fire department report. Chief Long.
Good evening, Board of Directors, General Public, George Wong, CAL FIRE Battalion Chief, San Luis Obispo County. For the month of January, Yura Los Osos Station 15 ran a total of 104 calls, down 3% from 107 last year. Just give you a perspective, other coastal areas ran about 109. So we, as a community here, ran just as many calls as other areas on the South Coast. Medical aids, we ran 56, one medical violence call, one surf slash cliff rescue, seven traffic collisions, four fires, one vehicle fire, four hazardous materials calls, 17 public assist, and 13 false alarms. And we've had quite a rash of, water heater fires, et cetera, structure fires in Los Osos. But with the quick response from the station, everything has been kept minimal. But your firefighters have been busy on Montana de Oro. We had a couple rescues out there with surf rescues this last month, a couple weeks ago. And we had a hike down a broken ankle patient from Valencia Peak just about last week. We did have a vehicle fire you probably saw yesterday off Napomo and South Bay Boulevard, which probably blocked up the entire South Bay Boulevard for a while. But that was a, with your quick response of firefighters, they extinguished it. Carrie did do a pie chart in the report that shows 1,533 calls for the year of 2019. If you noticed, last week we had our fire engines walk alongside as a 22 for you salute. One of the firefighters from the Bay Area is walking 22 miles a day with a pack on his back, representing 22 suicides for veterans daily. So he's walking from the Bay Area all the way down to San Diego. So our firefighters assisted and walked from South Bay Boulevard all the way down to Los Osos, and then we allowed San Luis City firefighters to take over from there. And this past month, I've worked alongside Chief Vena and our county fire marshal and general manager Ron Munns to update the 2019 fire code, and it's also in the report, and this includes Los Osos as well. Other than that, end of report. Any questions?
Yes. Are you going to be leaving? Because I have some items about, there are questions about the item on the consent agenda. Should I bring them up now or wait till that point?
Sure, you can bring it up now if you want.
Okay, well, I have to pull that up then. Because the weed abatement part that is redlined out and being changed, I had some questions about. You can go to public comment and I'll bring that back up.
Okay.
We can go to public. We'll take public comment on all the committee reports later.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me. Okay. So if I understand this correctly, I'm sorry. I've got it up here now.
Okay.
So if I understand all these red lines in the attachment, those are, I don't want to say mandated, but they're because of the updated state code. Is that why?
Yes, for the 2019 fire codes, the ones that we lined out are changes, and then they were amended through our county fire chief.
Okay, because the part about the hazardous material, for lack of a better term, I mean, there's not really, in my opinion, substantive changes there, so it's just really bringing that in conformance with the state code. Is that why
Yes.
we did that?
And once this is under review, we... Chief Vena will be next month, and he can even address it even more for the details for the committee members and board members.
Okay. Well, I didn't do a one-to-one comparison as to what it was before or what it is now, but I just wanted to make sure that I understood.
Absolutely.
Okay. So those red lines are something that you guys did locally?
Yes.
Okay. That was my question, Chuck. So I'll look at that hazardous vegetation part and see if I have any questions or comments on that portion.
Great. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to the Sheriff's Department report.
Hello. I'm Dave Mangrojani. I'm the sergeant here, one of the two sergeants here at the Los Osos substation. So for the month of January of this year, we had a total of 554 calls for service compared to January of 2019, we had 517. So the calls did go up a bit. We had 68 reports taken for January of 2020 versus 65 for January of 2019. For assault battery calls, we had 2 calls for service and 1 report was taken. And the only thing of note there is there was a in the 1100 block of 16th Street, there was a report of a female that was heard screaming. The second person involved in that incident had fled the scene prior to the deputy's arrival. A report was taken for domestic violence, and it was filed with the DA's office. For disturbance calls, we had a total of 27 calls for service, and 3 reports were taken. The only thing of note there is we had in the 2000 block of 8th Street, there was a disturbance between 2 males. A report was taken for a restraining order violation, filed with the DA's office. For burglaries, we had a total of 3 calls for service, and 1 report was taken. And it was actually shoplifting at the Miners hardware store down here. The suspect was unknown, and there was no leads on that incident. Thefts, there was a total of 12 calls for service, and 7 reports were taken. And of note was a theft of lotto tickets at the Los Osos liquor store. Suspect was identified, and the charges have been requested on that suspect. For vandalisms, we had a total of 4 calls for service, and 3 reports were taken. Nothing of note there. Mail theft, no calls and no reports. Phone scams, we had 2 calls for service, no reports. And for suspicious circs, 8 calls for service and no reports. Nothing of substantial note, just a reminder to lock your vehicles and personal items and, you know, just secure everything and, you know, when in doubt, call us and, you know, we'll always respond as needed. And that's it. Any questions?
Questions? Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Utilities Department report.
Good evening, Mr. President. Congratulations on your position.
Thank you. Board
members, members of the public. My name is Jose Acosta. I'm your Utility Systems Manager for Los Osos CSD. Tonight I will be giving your Utility Department report for December of 2019. We'll start with the water production information. For the month of December, we produced approximately 11.2 million gallons, and that equated to an average of about 362 gallons per day. This was a decrease from last year by approximately 4.7%. Calculating the residential use per customer per capita, the customers used about 48.5 gallons per day per person, and that's a decrease from 50.8 gallons per day of last year. Production and runtime hours, as you could see down below, the production is 1 million gallons, and the variance from last year, and also the runtime hours on the electricity side as well. You'll see that there is some increases in some of the wells because we had some wells that were down for service during the month of December, some of our producers that we normally rely upon. So that's why there's an inequality from last year. The water billing information. For the month of December, 57% of the service area was billed, and they were billed for approximately 14.62 million gallons, and that produced approximately $266,000 in revenue for that period. Moving on to Utility Department Operations and Maintenance report, the crew continued doing their daily, weekly, monthly water quality sampling. The monthly meter reading, service line upgrade at 1687 11th Street. The meter changeout program, we're completing that down 17th Street and Farrell Avenue. We're hoping to finish that all up here in the next month or so. And also in the meter changeout program, we're starting to replace rebuild our larger meters, which are inch and a half to 4-inch meters. There's approximately 16 of those. So we're excited to see what the difference will be rebuilding those, because those have been neglected for approximately 20 years. So the revenue hopefully will increase with that. We did a leak repair at 1315 5th Street, and we also assisted the contractor with the repair work at 8th Street Well, which Ron mentioned earlier in the budget report, that took pulling that well, getting a repair, replacing the casing, which should last for quite a bit of time, replacing it with plastic casing versus steel casing. In the drainage area, we did some maintenance at 16th Street and Paso drainage area, where we clean out the vault and also clean the pumps and run them, make sure that they're running properly. The rainfall totals are below for the month of December. Based on the county website, we had 4.37 inches, which brings our annual total to 8.19 inches of rain. That concludes my report. Do I have any questions from the board?
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
General Manager's report.
Thank you. I just have a few items here. I had a couple that I was going to let Director Forcroy talk in his Parks and Rec update. We did finish work at the middle school test well. We're awaiting finalized report from Spencer Harris of Cleith Harris, and we'll be reporting back to you probably at your next meeting what our next steps would be. I did want to highlight a couple of things that Laura has been working on. We implemented our new payroll system, which was not an easy task. Anyone that's done software integration or migration, it was difficult, and Laura persevered many hours on the phone with our integrator. And I also wanted to tell you we've launched our new district e-news online newsletter. Please sign up. We're starting off small. We're going to have a few articles. I think we only have a handful of emails, but we are going to start building that presence online. So if you have a chance, check it out. It'll be on the district's Facebook page as well. This newsletter included a picture of the board that we just had, a brief note from me introducing the newsletter, and also had the dog park conceptual plan and a way to comment on that. So anyway, I want to thank Laura for those undertakings this last month.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank you. Community Advisory Council report. Do we have someone from LOCAC here?
I can do it.
Oh, okay.
So the meeting was called to order at 7. They approved the minutes. Dave Mangarani gave the sheriff's report. Perry Heidebrink from the SLO office gave the highway patrol report. He let us know that the traffic complaints or concerns can be directed to 805-594-8700 during business hours, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and the after-hour number is 805-593-3333. So if you have any concerns and you want them to come out, you're welcome to call those numbers. The county staff report was given by Carrie Brown, the SLO County planner. The planning office is reviewing and responding to comments on the draft EIR. Public hearing for the draft is nearing completion. There will be a hearing in the spring, but the exact date was to be determined. Blake Fixler, Bruce's legislative assistant, gave the supervisor's report. The proposed sewer rate increase will be discussed at the February 25th supervisor's meeting. After that meeting, there will be a notice of proposal mailed to everyone affected. There will be a yes or no ballot with 45-day effective period. April 21st, there will be another public hearing where all those votes will be tallied. If above 50% of the people vote no, nothing will happen. If it's above 50% yes, then July 25th, the increased rate will go into effect. Board of Supervisors, item of interest, passed a ban on smoking in all public areas and a ban on vaping devices. Concern was the prevalence of vaping in schools. regular action items of note, there is a vacancy in District 4. LOCAC has received two applications so far, but they're keeping it open for anyone that wants to apply. Voting to fill the seat will take place at the February LOCAC meeting. If you're interested, you can check the website, locac.info, for more information. They also have the map, so you can learn where District 4 is. That's all I have.
Thank you. Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Vinson.
Good evening, Board of Directors, members of the public. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Chamber of Commerce most recently had our annual installation dinner and community awards. It was held at the Los Osos Valley Memorial Park. During the evening's festivities, Bill Lee was recognized as the 2019 Citizen of the Year for his continued support of the community improvements of Baywood Park. Golden State Water was recognized as the Business of the Year. Also honored was Sherry Grimm as the 2019 Volunteer of the Year. Sherry's volunteerism with the Chamber has a long legacy, beginning with her father, Warren Reed, who was the first recipient of the award that was named for him. So, Commander Justin Nelson, Slo Sheriff Coast Station, swore in the 2020 board, including new President Tim Carstairs with Carstairs Energy, President-elect Tony Lindstrom from Golden State Water, Secretary Lynette Tornowski with Celebrate Los Osos, Treasurer Christina Grimm of CG Bookkeeping, and immediate past President Marshall, our own Marshall Ohilski, along with Board of Directors D.D. Gigiorio. She owns Mindful, Kindful U University. Then there's Ben Doherty of Nardoni's, Amanda with Energy Wise, Rita Flores of Sage Landscapes, Olivia Martinez of Dignity Memorial Park, and Jim Stanfield, Colleen Vachetti, and myself round out the board. Just one thing we're getting ready to get our minds wrapped around is the Business Expo. And this year's Business Expo is going to be held on Friday, March 20th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. This year we're going to have it's going to be similar to past years, but this year there's going to be a tri-tip barbecue dinner. $10 ticket includes sandwich, chips, dessert, a drink. It's open to the public with free admission. The annual Business Expo is a once-in-a-year opportunity for local business to show and sell their products and organizations to share information. You can go on our website, and if you'd like to be a sponsor, you can go right on the website and sign up there, or you can sign up for tickets there. So, and that's the end of it. Any questions?
Questions. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee.
Yes. So our last meeting, we had one really good discussion. So I would refer everybody to look in their packets. We have a concept plan for the dog park that was done with donated time from the Wallace Group in San Luis. They did an excellent job getting all of the ideas the community and the committees had onto paper. And now we have something that we can present and continue to work on. So a lot of discussion was about this plan and what it meant. We're proposing to provide parking, accessible parking, a bathroom, and basically two areas, a large breed and small breed play areas, and landscaping. The plan is really well thought out, so we're providing a lot of setback from the neighbors, which would be the church and the residents. And we're proposing to put screening berms along the residential side to further decrease the amount of noise that they would be experiencing. So right now we're looking for input from not only the committee but the public at large. And Laura set up this concept plan on the website. So you can view it, you can download it, and it has an email form where all the questions, comments, suggestions can go. General Manager Munns will be compiling all of that input, and we'll be discussing that at our future Parks and Rec meetings. So please, if you get a chance, please look at the plan. It's, the proposed park is located, the proposed location is across from the library on Palisades, if you're not familiar. So please check it out and provide some input on it as we kind of get it narrowed down to what we could actually accomplish. So that's the plan there. The other piece of news that we got at that meeting was the snail study for the Farrell Street property was completed. Snails were found in the park area, but none were found on the pathway. So at this time, the committee is working towards improving the pathway only. And a report is into the U.S. Fish and Wildlife requesting just that, to improve the pathway. So the next page past the concept plan is a great, great shot of the pathway with some really deep grooves from kids trying to ride their bicycles through the sand, which is what we're trying to improve upon. So that's at U.S. Fish and Wildlife. What ask you, Ron, have we heard any feedback on that yet?
We haven't yet, and there's really no timeline. The person that would typically review it for Los Osos retired. I think they have a replacement, but we haven't heard anything back.
So the hope here is that if we get the go-ahead from Fish and Wildlife, we could execute the pathway without the HCP, so it's something that the committee and the district could actually implement fairly quickly if we get those approvals. Our next meeting is going to be on St. Patrick's Day, which I don't remember the day of it. I'll have to look here. March 17th, 2020.
Every year.
Yeah.
It's over at Sweet Springs, right?
It's not at Sweet Springs. It'll be right here. So I would very much encourage anybody to come to that, because we're going to be discussing more about the dog park and looking at different options. There's a lot of options for landscaping, the surface of the dog park, the fencing, number of parking spaces, etc. So all of that kind of input we'd greatly appreciate.
Yes, we'll move on to public comment. Wait, no, excuse me, we've got a few more reports to go. Yeah. We've missed your record, so we'll continue on. Thank you, and good luck with Fish and Wildlife Service coordination. It's good to see you're outside of critical habitat areas, and that might mean something. Utilities Advisory Committee report. Thank you.
Yeah, so at Utilities, mostly what we had was a discussion, a really open discussion with the public about leak credits and how we could, as a district, streamline that process and potentially give staff more discretion, more latitude on solving those issues at the staff level. It was just a discussion, and we're directed General Manager Munns to go back and come up with some options that are similar, basically looking at how other municipalities are doing this. So he's going to come back this month and we're going to discuss those further and hopefully have some recommendations to the board in a little bit.
Okay, good. That seems to be an issue that keeps revisiting us. Yep. Finance Advisory Committee.
Yes, this will be quick because the mid-year adjustments was our primary item that we discussed, but as far as item 7C and 7D, the committee recommended that the board approve the warrants and recommend receive and file for the financial report. I did have one question, though, if I could ask staff. In the warrant register, in here, it's different than the one that we got at FAC because director's compensation was attached to that one that we got at FAC, but it's not attached to the one that's online for here. So could we make sure that gets attached in the future? Thank you.
Okay, item J, appointment of district advisory committee chairpersons and vice chairpersons. And district representatives to outside agencies by the board president. I'd forgotten just how we're going to handle this. Are we going to just move ahead with rolling over the existing committee assignments?
Okay. I can talk about this one. Please. There's two things we're talking about. One is this is the chair and the vice chair and the outside people. But the people that are on the committee serve at the pleasure of who appointed them. So that's right. A whole separate issue.
Right.
And Matthew's got an item coming up right after this. But this is just the appointment of the chair and the vice chair and to the outside agency representatives.
And we had talked about just rolling over the current.
Yes, that's kind of what I thought. If anybody's wanting to change positions, I guess, committees, that kind of thing, maybe we should have talked before now. But I kind of like the way things are rolling. Okay. And as far as outside agencies, I'm going to be stepping away from CAPSLO. They'll be in contact with you about whether they're going to ask us to have someone else fill in or not. And if they do and you want to know more about it, get in touch with me and I can give you the rundown on what's involved with that. Okay, Director Forcroy's appointment to Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee. Did you have a change you need to make on that?
We're next to the next one. Yes. So I have a vacancy on Parks and Rec.
Okay.
Jennifer Ferrangi had to step down after a few years of very, very great service. So I will be appointing Christina Grimm to that position. And I think she's going to do a great job. I really appreciate her enthusiasm, her organization, and definitely her point of view. And I think she's going to be an excellent addition to the committee. So Christina is going to start.
Our Finance Advisory Committee, Christina?
Nope, that's her mom, Sherry.
That's your mom,
Sherry. So Christina's her daughter. Yep.
Okay.
And they both help at the chamber, too. So.
Okay, I'm getting confused. Okay, thank you. Director's announcements of district and community interests and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars.
Just a quick update on that, if I could.
Sure.
We had our annual meeting of the California Special Districts Association last week. Four of the directors attended. But I thought we had a presentation from Wade Horton, who's the county administrator who did a very, very good job. And we also had a presentation by the new emergency services, Jay Gazzardo?
I can't pronounce his last name. Sorry.
Anyway, he did a really good job, but he also mentioned some things that were available to agencies for emergency services when there's a fire in the general area. And so he did point out the fact that those are grants that we could be applying for. So I thought that was very, very helpful. And he also said, as far as his emergency preparedness committee, that if anybody's ever interested in attending one of their meetings, they've opened it up so you don't have to be an elected representative anymore. It's open to the public, and you have the opportunity to speak. So I thought that went really well. I think those were the highlights of the meeting as far as I know, unless somebody else wants to add something to that.
Well, you can attend the meeting, but they want an RSVP so they can play.
Ahead of time, right, exactly.
I thought Wade Horton's talk was very informative, and he's going to have his hands full over the next year as they step through, especially housing issues.
Well, his big thing was the RENA, which is the housing allocations in LAFCO. We had heard that same discussion previously, but I think they're doing a really, really good job, especially with Carolyn Berg, as far as getting all the cities and the county all engaged in how that can be addressed. So I think that's going to be really good.
Response to previously asked questions. I don't have a note of any, but I wasn't here last month.
I do have one. Okay. It's Julie Tacker had asked, and I'll kind of paraphrase this. When we received the audit, she asked, when looking at compensation to directors, did the auditors look at meeting eligibility as part of their review? And the short answer is they didn't. They looked at directors as employees of the district, so they were grouped in like the rest of the district's employees, and looked at the rate of pay and the taxes paid. They did not look at meeting eligibility.
Okay, thank you. Before we move on to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and consent agenda, is there anything that anyone wants to pull from the consent agenda for discussion at a later date? Or actually later this evening?
No.
Okay, great.
I may want to discuss this fire thing at a later date, but it's not something tonight, so I'll be talking to the fire chief over the next, because I just want to clarify in my own mind, because we did do that hazardous vegetation thing, and I just want to make sure that we're still achieving the same goals that we had originally set. So I'll be talking to him about that. But that'd
be item E you're talking about.
Yeah, something we'll deal with it next.
Okay, yeah, the first reading here. Okay.
Yeah, I'd encourage you to talk to the chief. We had a long discussion about it, and I think it's going to add flexibility and better control.
Well, I'll talk to you about that, and then I'll talk to the chief. How's that?
Great.
Public comment for items in the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda. Do we have any?
Okay, Julie Tacker, and I'll speak to what Ron just talked about, the outstanding previously answered question. The auditor does have the ability to go back and look at that. And I would ask that the district do that because there are significant amounts of money that should be repaid. That's the people's money. It's the people's money, and you should give it back. Just a kind of housekeeping thing. It's been here for years, but now we have Laura, so maybe it'll be different. 7A on the agenda. Receive administrative committee reports and approved committee minutes. We don't have minutes from the committees in the packets anymore, and I always thought they should be there. I know there's sometimes a timing issue about having them approved by the committee before they get there. Well, then whenever they're approved, get them in here, because I believe you're not reading them. Unless they're in this packet, you're not going to see them. If you didn't go to the meeting, you didn't experience it. You're relying on your colleagues to verbally tell you what happened at their meetings, and I think those should be available in the packet. Thank you.
Lindy Owen, I wanted to really commend the work that Matthew's been pulling together in Parks and Rec with looking at the dog park. There's, of course, the question of who's going to manage it, and that is the other part that is aside from the CSD, actually. What I would really encourage is that from every meeting, and maybe that's something that Christina can do, is to get an article in the Estero News. People will never People don't even know we're having a meeting tonight. So sadly, I think there's just a disconnect between maybe our agenda could be sent to the Stereo News each week and they might get it in if they have time in the issue prior to the meeting. But I think these are kind of exciting new things for Los Osos and nobody knows anything about them unless they catch it on, I don't do Facebook. Most people don't go to our website for entertainment. So I would just urge that we really work on the outreach. This is interesting stuff, and it's important that the community find out about it so they can participate. And they'll be at these meetings, and you'll get much more of the input. But they're a good resource. And then I wanted to bring up previously asked questions. I'm still wanting to know about the flume. It's a great product, and I think that everybody acknowledges that, but I know that Rob will be moving, and he's the test. He's our guinea pig for it. So I hope that Jose can input something about whether that's a chance. It's an inexpensive item, and if people are worrying about their leaks, it's a great investment. I think that we really need to bring it to the community as an option if it's something that we can do. Thank you.
Can I respond to Lindy real quick?
Do we have any other public comment on committee reports or consent agenda? No. Okay, yes, sir.
We're meeting with the Flume representatives Tuesday, so we're trying to move forward.
Thank you. See, I don't see anything on consent agenda that we can't handle just by voice.
Yes, I would do a roll call because you have
the ordinance. Okay, I was wondering about that.
I'd like to make a motion that the board receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I second the motion.
Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Director Millage?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Womack?
Yes.
President Zesenia?
Yes. Okay, thank you all. We'll move on to general action items. First up, customer dispute regarding high water bill at 572 Baywood Way, Los Osos. I think we have correspondence on that.
Yes, we do.
Is this the continuation from...
Yes, this is the continued from last meeting.
Okay, I missed all of that. I did get to read a little bit about...
Okay, I can give you a brief rundown of the report. This is regarding 572 Baywood Drive. In November, this account received a high water bill for 76 units, which equates to a little over an $863 water bill. As you know, our district procedures are to investigate and verify high reads within 2 days, which we did here. In this case, the meter read was correct, indicating that the water had passed through the meter. We were contacted by Mr. Schirmerhorn on November 20th regarding the high bill. And at that point, we generated a work order and monitored the account for over a two-week period. The results showed that the water usage was within the historical normal range, and there were no leaks present during that monitoring period. And as we've had in the past, these are very difficult since there is no explanation of where the water went. This particular meter is 6 years old, which is about halfway through its life. So, and typically meters don't speed up. They slow down with age. It is the district's policy to only provide billing adjustments for water loss from leaks associated with the water service line. In this case, the issue is the unexplained water. Alternatively, the board, at its discretion, can make some sort of an adjustment under these circumstances. And as Chuck mentioned, there is a letter that has been submitted stating their concerns and position on the issues.
Did we take an action last month?
On the one that we heard, yes. And it was the standard
leak adjustment.
Right.
No, this item was not heard last
this was
meeting.
Not,
it was continued.
No, this was continued.
I'm sorry. I thought we had two on the... We're going to have two. We had one.
Okay.
This one was continued.
Okay, so no, it was continued.
We made a decision about this. Yet. Okay.
We didn't have... No.
And I'm guessing that you're the property owners.
We are.
Okay.
Good evening, board members, and thank you for the opportunity to come before you. I'm Susan Skirmerhorn.
And Richard Skirmerhorn.
And, you know, I just want to reiterate that we're very water-conscious people, not only because of that water is expensive, but it's also the right thing to do with a scarce resource. And I notice that the staff report noted that we have a large number of plants, we do, in our yard, but they are all low-water plants. They are all succulents and cacti. We've put in a new drip irrigation system. We've done everything we can to make sure that we use as little water as we can. The bill we're contesting, as you can see, was a huge increase, 633%. If this had been a matter of our water bill doubling to $250 a month or $300, we would have said, okay, we must have an undetected leak somewhere. We don't. And we've gone through the process, as you've heard, with CSD to see if there are any leaks, and there are none. And our usage in our last bill is back down to, it was 6 units, and our water bill to $107. There's no indication at all that this water flowed onto our property. There were no soft spots, spongy areas. Our houses on Baywood Way, I mean, we're living on top of each other. We're really close together. We have very vigilant neighbors. Nobody noticed anything unusual, water flowing out. And our landscapers have told us that given the kind of vegetation we have, had the equivalent of an average of 902 gallons a day been flowing onto our property, some of that vegetation at least would have died. We understand we're not alone, that other property owners have experienced this sharp kind of increase in water billing. And again, no logical explanation for the increase. What we're asking is to be given similar consideration to others who have come before you. And that's the first thing. And for a credit against this very, very large bill. And we're also very anxious that this might happen again. We understand it has happened more than once to one property owner. And I guess we'd ask that CSD, which has the data and the expertise, work together with all of us to see that this doesn't happen in the future and to see what might be the explanation. Solve the mystery. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ron, you mentioned something about 2 days. We're usually typically responding if we notice a problem.
Yes.
We're out within 2 days.
Because we have to get the information downloaded and then a work order generated.
Right. That's no, that's pretty quick. It seems like for us to be out if we notice a problem. Okay. Thank you. Feel a little bit of a loss because I know we've talked about coming up with a way to deal with these kinds of credit issues, and we want to be fair and treat everyone the same. How have we been handling these?
The past cases that have been like this, the unexplained water use, we've done our standard leak adjustment like we do for a water service line.
These all, I'm thinking about Mar Vista in particular, because they had that weird anomaly 2 years in a row. These all similar meters that are having issues? Okay. Jose, if you can help me out.
Yes, we utilize the same meter throughout the district. The only variance is that there are a few that were installed with automated radio reads, mm-hmm. but the registers, the meter, the body of the meter, they're all the same standard meter.
So, I have some insight, I think.
Okay.
That does sound like a lot of water, but you know, we're on, it's 2 month billings. So if you have a small leak for a large period of time, it equates to the same thing. So if you average your 76 units over 60 days, it's 948 gallons a day. But there's 1,440 minutes in a day. So that's only like 0.6 gallons per minute. That's half of a retrofit sink in California. That's really not much. Like that flow rate, that instantaneous, continuous flow rate. So I think we're all looking for a fire hose here, but really what we're looking for is something barely flowing. Mm-hmm. When you have periods of time, even if it had only been a leak for 30 days, it would be equivalent to a bathroom sink, 1.2 gallons a minute. That's not an awful lot. We live in sandy soil. You probably are never going to see that. I would think that if you have a spike and then it goes away and a spike again, you're having a recurrence of some sort of leak issue. In my opinion, the water meters are a mechanical device that is prone to underread, not overread, over time. And that water, my standpoint is it's not a mystery where the water went. The water went through the meter. You haven't been able to detect where that went on your property, in my opinion, but it went through the meter. And I think the only way to find those things is to, if that were me, and I've had this same problem where the main water line broke, is to check your leak detector quite a bit and see if you can detect that little bit over a period of time. I think any of these breaks that are a big amount are easy to detect because you have a geyser in your front yard. But it's the small leaks or a leaky toilet over a period of time that stopped leaking. Those are the kinds of things I think that we're looking at here, not some sort of catastrophic water going everywhere, because that's not, I don't think, what we're seeing.
In these sandy soils, things disappear. It just does disappear quickly. Any other thoughts on this? Did we have, let's see.
Well, I do have one other thing I wanted to mention. We talked about how the UAC is going to look at this. I do think that the UAC, really needs to come up with some good plans to let staff have more discretion to handle these cases. I think that's going to be pretty paramount. Mm-hmm. And, we already on our website have some really good information about how to read a water meter, look at your leak detector. Maybe we need to do a little bit more public outreach with that information, because it's not San Luis. It's not, adobe clay where the water comes straight to the surface.
Right, right. Disappear so fast here. Okay, public comment on agenda item 8A. Isn't that where we're at? Yes. Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board and...
What I did notice is, and maybe this is just a question, if we have a payment plan once the decision is made on these different leak issues, if we have a setup to make them over a one-year period, monthly payments, or even spread them over like a two-year period, we live month to month, many of us, so it would make a big difference. I noticed the one that's coming up is being asked to pay all in one sum, it looked like, so that can be a shock to the reality. Thanks.
I'll entertain any... close public comment, yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we treat this one similar to the last few that we've treated and allow an adjustment.
I like that idea. I just want to make sure that, I think there's a really high likelihood that this happens again, because I think you have a leak somewhere And
well, it could be. I mean, the water could be running in a sink. A toilet could be running.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff don't know.
Anyways, I would just point out, like, you know, be diligent, because I think that there is an issue on that side of the meter, and I'm pretty sure that you're going to see that again at some point.
Well, I think two things that you pointed out. It's the educational process is the first part of it, you know. But then secondly, as we've talked about every time this has come up, we have to put a policy in place so the general manager and staff can deal with this, so it doesn't have to come to us.
I second your motion.
And that was a motion to allow a credit?
To make a standard adjustment, like, and be consistent with the other rate payers.
And I guess this being the first for this address, that's because, like you said, if we come back again and we see it happen again, then we know that we've got a non-recurring issue. Okay, we've got a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. We'll move on to 8B. Customer request for an additional credit to a high water bill received at 1690 16th Street.
Yes, this one is a little bit different. This customer experienced a water service line leak and did receive our standard deduction. Mr. DeZuba from 1690 16th Street stated when we had contact with him that we had hung his courtesy door hanger on his door, but he doesn't use his front door. And so consequently didn't see the door hanger or was notified or felt he was notified properly. The leak did surface but was discovered right before the next meter read, so it had gone for quite a long time. So as you can see, there's an error in the staff report, if I could just back up a little bit, where we said it was 801, it was 891. We did reread it, and it was 909 a week, 2 days later. That's when we left the door hanger. And we did, in the report, show that Mr. DeZuba came to the office, did get the adjustment. And then after, when he, again, back up, sorry, I'm kind of going out of order here in my notes. When we did read the meter the next time and we saw the extremely high water usage, we did try to contact him, but the phone number on file was disconnected. So we did attempt on the second time to do a physical contact rather than the door hanger. So at this time, Mr. DeZuba, he'll speak for himself here, but did request to go before the board and appeal the leak adjustment amount.
Okay, so this is the continuation. Okay, sir. Yes.
I gave you all a package, if you'll look at these. The first one is a picture of my house, and I have some markings here of where my house is. In the second picture is my door on the side, which I never use. The only time I've been in that door is when I bought the place. All right. I have here the 10th of November. Ron said it was 11th. Courtesy notice was hung on that door. On the 5 December, my neighbor Chuck Cribbs, noticed water running along the side of his driveway. He notified my son. We located the leak and fixed it the same day. On 7 December, we found a courtesy notice. See the photo. I received the bill for $2,022 on 10/09/19 to 12/10/19. I asked for a leak adjusted and got it. And I paid $1,068 on January 14th. I'm asking for a review and reduction due to the following reason. I've been to the water districts in Cambria, Morro Bay, and Golden State here in Las Osas. Their policy on water leaks is, one, hang a door notice if no one is home. 2, shut off the water if they think it's extreme. 3, telephone if they have a telephone number. And 4, all send a letter to the customer. Ron and Jose said all they were required to do is hang the door notice. If you're more proactive, I would have been notified much earlier by one of the means used by the other water districts, and 133,392 gallons would not have been wasted. I believed I should be charged my year's average of 6 cycles of $114.50. This should be deducted from the $1,068.50 that I have, and I'd be given a credit of $954. This can be applied to my future bills for my 2 homes until the credit is used up. All right, I see you all have a thing here of what I was going to say, but I see my time running short here. I have a, this notice is your notice. This was the one that was misplaced. I'd like to know why. I asked Ron what happened to it. No one seems to know what happened to it. This is Golden States. They have 2 sides. They also have a duplicate that the guy who hangs this, he actually puts this on the door, and then they hand in the other one where he signed it and everything else so that they have a copy, Golden State. I think you people ought to look into that. Now, if I can discuss what Ron said, since I just got it tonight, I see that.
Make it brief, please.
All right. I'm doing the discussion here. Ron says that on October 9th, the read was 901. On October 11th, the read was 909. That's 8 units in 2 days. Now, if somebody can't tell that is beyond a shadow of a doubt, a serious leak, I would think that someone would come over and shut off the darn water. I've never used more than 10 in the last 2 years.
Okay. I see what we have here. You don't dispute that you had a leak, and so we're getting into notification procedures. We did try and call. Number wasn't up to date.
That's fine.
Well, that's one of the remedies that you're suggesting, and we tried that. So I think that we've tried to meet you partway, and we've given a credit already.
But after, when you've seen 9 units or 8 units in 2 days, the bell should have went off.
So we should have shut your water off.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion or comments here? I guess I missed some of last month's. Oh, that's a good question. Any other public comment on this item? Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and this one is different. And I sympathize with Mr. DeZuba in that our staff could have done more. And I think we certainly need to develop some new policy that shows us, our district, is diligent on making sure that water gets stopped, you know, in 2 days. If it come back 2 days later, if it's not stopped leaking or you haven't made contact with the property owner, what if he'd just been on vacation? Didn't really matter where the door hanger was. If nobody was there to see the door hanger, you got to follow up and keep following up until you either are in the situation with the Baywood Way folks where we have a mystery and we're going to monitor it, or we found the leak and it gets fixed. So Mr. DeZuba is asking that you reduce the leak adjustment even further, and I would agree that some responsibility falls on the district and that you could do that. What that number is, I don't know. He's asking for his average bill. to be applied, split it somewhere. But I think we the district, could have done better and followed up on this. And you know, almost 2 months worth of water was just running away. I hope you consider something else, both sides, just the standard leak adjustment.
Lindy Owen, I believe that this is about our policy needing to be possibly improved, updated, changed. We send out a water bill every 2 months, and that's the opportunity to contact customers. And maybe if there's something that the computer could spit out and say, we don't have a current contact number for you, we would like your, you know, just a slip of paper that says, please include your current phone number and contact information and permission to shut off your water if we happen to notice. Something in our policy making could get us to a point where we actually have some of that data on file. I don't know if that's just going to kill book or paperwork to get it logged in, but at least you could even manually look it up in a file and say, whoa, nobody's answering, so nobody's home, therefore that would be an opportune time to shut off water. The whole goal is to not waste water, and then the people that get stuck with these costs that are just shocking, it's not always, mostly often it's not their fault, but at the same time it sounds like we could come up with something. So I don't know about additional reduction on this bill, but it's worth considering because it has kicked us into a point where we're starting to see that we could modify and upgrade our policy. Thank you.
Additional public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. I guess, you know, we have what we think are good phone numbers. I'm not at all inclined to start randomly calling people to see if we have accurate phone numbers for them. If we have a need to call someone, we will call them to the number we have on file, but it's up to the customer to keep the an accurate information database for us. We're not going to chase that. In terms of additional credits, what does the board feel? I kind of feel like this was an obvious leak that went on for a long time, and I don't know what legally our parameters are in terms of shutting off water for someone. You just don't go around shutting off people's utilities willy-nilly. On the other hand, if there is an obvious problem, I just don't know what that situation is. Do you have any? Have you ever run into this before, Mr. Minery?
President Sasana, directors of the board, there is quite an extensive policy that I think your board actually adopted. Was last meeting, Ron, the 998?
That was the discontinuance of service.
For discontinuous of service, which is essentially the same thing. Do you have the ability to shut off water? I don't know the answer to that, but I think that I could certainly see your hesitation to just start shutting off water and utilities without direct contact with the owner.
I think it's something, maybe our procedures could be improved. I'm always willing to look at that. I mean, service isn't always just how you respond. It's how you prevent problems. So I'm always willing to look at that. But it seems like we've stepped up and made our adjustment. Unless I can hear a compelling reason to further adjust this bill, I don't know.
I think that there may be, as Ms. Tacker mentioned, some middle ground here, because where I'm coming from is under the discussion. You know, the read was 901, and the read from the previous cycle was 801, so that's 100 units there.
That's wrong.
Yeah, I apologize. That should be 891.
Right.
We didn't catch that, and Mr. DeZuka did.
All right, but then, you know, the read was when it was reread, it was 909, which was, what, 2 days later. So I don't know. I'm struggling mentally with how to deal with this one because there was clearly a leak. Nobody's questioning that. It's just I don't know how to deal with it. So I have – that's my thoughts.
Legally, would we be able to set a limit if you use over X amount and we can't get a hold of you? Or is that something that a property owner could come back at us if we shut off their water? I mean, it does seem like a tremendous amount was going through in 2 days.
I think we probably could adopt a policy that allowed, in an extreme circumstance, the ability to turn off water, but I would say that direct contact with the homeowner would be preferable if you're going to do that. But that would allow you to save a scarce resource and give an opportunity to fix.
Well, and if I can comment
let me say one thing, and then because my thought is we would have gotten contacted from you had we turned off your water. That would be a way to get contact.
So we're reluctant to turn off water because we don't know what's going on inside that house. Could have medical equipment. You could have someone in the shower. You could have a lot of different things happening. So that there's that reluctance. I know in my experience, if someone sees an actual leak, water surfacing, that would be enough to turn water off. But when you don't see anything and you just see a meter spinning, you don't know what's going on or what you might impact, and there's a certain liability there.
So medical equipment, though, is there a way to find out, like, how much water that would use? Because it probably wouldn't have used 9 units in 2 days.
It's really, it's the unknown of what's being, you know, we don't know if they have a pool or if they have, you know, just anything. Yeah. That we just automatically shut off water. We do take notes in our system. If people, like Mr. DeZuba, I think we actually put a note in that if it ever happens again, we can shut his water off. But it's hard for us to track down that information.
Okay. So it would be a problematic to have that kind of policy, or it could be.
Well, I think it's really hard to distinguish, what's going on there. So the meter's spinning, but it's not spinning at an abnormal rate. It's spinning at the rate of, like, a garden hose. Yeah, 2 units, that's 3,366 gallons in a day. No, that's each day. 1,440 minutes, that's 2 gallons a minute. There would be no way to distinguish that.
We're not going to go back and forth here. I'd like the light you shed on this. All I've heard is that this is troublesome. We need a decision, though.
Okay. Do I make a? We could, cut it in half again.
Split the difference.
Since we weren't, didn't do. I think we did a lot to try to contact you, but
yeah, I do
too.
If
you want to pick a number,
may I make a comment, please?
No. We've heard, and we're. I think we've got the information we need. It's just not an easy decision. We've given the leak adjustment.
I'll make a motion that we share the cost of this, split the bill in half.
Or maybe give a further reduction of...
Was that, yeah, is that a second, or are you proposing additional?
I think we should clarify, I think, to make it, instead of saying half of, I think we pick a number and put it in there so that when the staff is, or do we not do that? Well, I would like to make a clear motion to the staff exactly how much.
So perhaps Director Forcroy could clarify his motion with a specific number as to what happens.
If I understand, you're talking about splitting the 1,000 and change in half. Is that correct?
Yes. So it's the half of $1,068.50, right?
It looks like, can I talk about the real numbers, or is that
yes.
private? Okay, so it looks like we adjusted it down 954. We could take half of that again, which would be 450 plus 477. I think that would be half.
For discussion purposes, let me second Matthew's motion, okay? Which is half of the 1068, right? Whatever that number is.
Yeah, 1063425.
Right. And okay, we'll just work on that motion first. If you have a second motion, we'll.
Did you want to? I'm happy. What did you say? 545?
534.25.
Okay, let's stick with that number. That's
all in favor. Say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. That's 8B. 8C, adopt a resolution amending the board bylaws and rules of decorum for 2020. Mr. Munns, do you have anything for us on this?
I really don't. We did meet.
Marshall, you were the bylaws committee chair. You were going to talk about this.
You should have my microphone on. We had a couple of items that we have discussed. First of all was the changing the meeting time. And I'm trying to pull it up as I speak here because... Where is that in the bylaw? Oh, pardon me, 2.2 in the very beginning. So we talked about allowing the meeting to start at 6. It doesn't have to start at 6, right. But that gives us the option to start earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that we talked about was director's compensation, and I'd like to make one additional edit here just to clarify something, if I could, because it's come up. So that's in 9.1. I'd just like to add language in that very, very second to last line where it says, or other function attended by him, her. I'd like to insert the language representing the LOCSD as a director. So in other words, you're not representing the community, but you're representing the LOCSD. So I'd just like to... add representing the LOCSD as a director. But those are the only two modifications.
I wanted to add, so I know we had talked about putting the essentially the director's time cards in.
Well, that was the thing bracket. That I brought up during the administrative thing, that the director's compensation sheets are going to be part of the warrant registers.
Going forward.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how it didn't get here today, but...
Okay.
So that will be, and I think we've agreed that that's going to be the process going forward for transparency, that those director compensation requests will be part of the warrant register from now on.
Perfect. Thank you.
So the change you suggested was in
9.1. Last line down there.
at the direction. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, 9.1. I just want to clarify that you're not representing the community, you're representing the district.
Two. 9.2 seems to deal with the interests of the district or its residents' customers.
I know. But that's...
Okay, I'm okay with that change to 9.1. Do we have any other comments on that? Okay, public comment on item 8C.
Well, you may, can I, before you go there,
sure.
Pardon me, and based on what you're saying right now, we may want to delete those last four words in 9.2.
I think it kind of speaks to what you were getting to.
Yeah, know? Let's delete those last. I'll also say we delete the last four words in 9.2. Or its residents slash customers.
Yeah, you got to be representing the district.
Right. Okay. That would be my change. 9.1, add that language and delete it from 9.2.
Yes, now we're ready for public comment.
Good evening again. Last time, Julie Tacker. Please go to 4.3, Rules of Decorum. We still have, this is really old and stale, and I don't think it's necessary anymore. 4.3B, members of the audience who wish to address the board of directors on any particular item on the agenda shall line up at the podium or sit in the front two rows. I'm never going to sit in the front two rows, and you can't make me. But I still get to speak because the Brown Act allows me. So I think that's ridiculous and should be changed. 4.3D, persons addressing the board of directors are requested to state their name and their general place of residence. While it is a request, it is not a requirement, and I don't think it's necessary in there. I think under director's compensation, item 9.5, you talked about, well, Renee went on at length how difficult this would be, and it hasn't been done. This saving Marshall's compensation and putting it into a training fund, it's not being done. Hasn't been done since this bylaw was adopted originally. So I think you should consider taking it out because it's a adds to the budget and costs somebody a headache, and you have to have some sort of fund to put it in. So I think that could be removed. But in this whole section, I think this district needs a definition of what is a compensated meeting. And use some of the language that the district attorney gave you. And then over on 11.2, ad hoc committees. Just so we all know, the law says that an ad hoc committee is just of two members of the board. And that does not include staff. So only if the two members of the board are in that ad hoc committee are they compensated and they're actually working as an ad hoc committee. Just double-check the law, Mr. Minery, and make sure our bylaws comply with it. Those are my thoughts. Thank you very much.
Lydia, and maybe I'm not seeing it, but it was discussed that when you held committee meetings that you would write a report and it would be presented, and I'm not sure where it could be seen, but it gives the public access to that meeting and the information that is discussed by committees. So is that missing, or should it and could it be added if it is missing? Thank you.
Any other public comment on this item K?
Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. I think that has to be in here, isn't it?
It is in here. Yes, it's in here.
Yeah.
That the committee chair will provide.
Because you pointed that out. That's why we started writing the meeting notes again.
No, back.
No, I don't have them memorized.
That's 11.1C. Summary notes for each meeting of each standing committee shall be forwarded to the board of directors as a public record.
Yeah. Okay. Regarding 9.5, that does seem to be an unused.
Yeah, I agree that we should delete 9.5. The other comments, I think we delete 9.5, but I think I'm fine without making any of the other changes that were suggested.
Yeah, I don't see ever enforcing the two-row request. Well, that's not even a request. Shall line up.
Well, or get in line. I mean, it's one or the other. If you want to take out the first two rows, but I think when we have... We've had in the past, like, a contentious issue, and you've had a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It moves it along quicker. If people
I agree. The idea is to keep things moving and then somehow indicate that we want you to be ready to give comment.
Well, why don't we get rid of this two front rows but leave the get-in-line part?
Well, maybe the two front rows is what if somebody has trouble standing and there's a long line. Like, Julie always gets up and stands by the podium. Mm-hmm. There isn't usually a line. Is that why it was originally in there? To allow someone that can't stand?
Well, why don't we just leave
it? Just leave it until it becomes a real issue.
Okay, why don't we just make the change for the hours, the two changes, the one change addition I suggested for 9.1.
Yes.
The deletion of 9.2 and then deletion of section 9.5 in its entirety.
I'm good with those.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that carried. And we didn't have any pulled consent items.
I'm sorry. I fell asleep on the job. It is a resolution, so I would take a roll call vote.
Oh, it is.
I vote yes.
Director Ohilski? Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Director Millage? Vice President Womack.
Yes.
And President Sesenia.
Yes. Okay, we didn't pull anything from the consent calendar. Future agenda items. Anything that anyone wants agendized at the moment, you can always bring it to us at any time before the next meeting.
Well, I think that one thing that we've been talking about needs to be addressed, the update for the policies for leak adjustment. That's just something that needs to be out there.
I agree. And looking at our own procedures, all of it.
And I think that should go to UAC first, though.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Any closing board comments? Okay, we'll just end it with, I think it's going to be an interesting year. We've got lots of things going on in the community, plan updates, all kinds of things. So everyone pay attention and thank you for your interest. And with that, we'll adjourn the meeting without setting a record.